Hey everybody, how we doing? Welcome to Faith That Takes, where we lay hold to the promises of God. We want to welcome you in to our Tuesday night services. I'm Minister Mike Blizzard, filling in for our awesome man of God on tonight, who is taking a much deserved rest. So let's give it up for our man of God. Again, welcome to our streaming audience and those in the sanctuary on tonight. Just want to remind you that we do have three ways to give: our church cash app, our Breeze app, and text to give. Again, giving is not a loss. We do not see it as a loss, but an opportunity for all grace to be released to us. You can still sow your supernatural seed. And just remember that God loves a cheerful, happy, hilarious giver. So when you bring your seed and you sow it into the ground, expect a harvest to come to you. Going to pray real quick before we jump right into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, first of all, Lord, for another day, another opportunity to come into your presence, to come into your place. And we ask right now, Lord, for those who are on their way here, for those who are listening at home, we just pray your traveling mercies, your protection, your covering over their lives. We thank you that the word is going to come forth tonight with clarity and forward instruction for your people. I thank you that your words are my words, and I thank you that this is a word specially designed for your people. We give you praise, and we claim sharing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Staying in the vein that Pastor G has been talking on, faith laws or laws that govern faith, we're going to continue to talk about that tonight with a little twist on it. Whenever we're praying, whenever we're believing God for something, it's always important to remember who we're talking to or who we're praying to. Turning your word to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Y'all quick with it too, media. I like that. And it reads, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, that will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, for those who've been in church, we all know that this passage of scripture is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But one thing that I think at times, and just my personal opinion, I'm not saying this law, that when we read scripture, a lot of times if we're not conscious of what we're looking at, simple principles can go right over our head. Media, if you can throw that first verse back up for me in Matthew's 6, right here. Jesus, when talking to his disciples, said a very, very quick message in there that, in my opinion, a lot of people miss. And it's the first two words of that prayer: Our Father. Most people, when they look at God, they see him as a sovereign figure. Some, with a greater revelation, see him as Savior, our Redeemer, one who died and saved us from our sins. A lot of people forget at times that Jesus has changed the relationship dynamic between us and God to that of a father and a child. When thinking about that dynamic, it's very important to understand that the world's view of a father, or the way Satan likes to play with the media in changing the view of a father, is very strategic. And I say that because as much as a mother loves their child, whether it be a son or a daughter, the dynamic of a father is a little different. I know myself personally, I love my mom, have a great mom. Her role is more of a nurturer, whereas in dad is one that can walk in a room and everybody sit down. Mom can yell it a million times. Y'all sit down, stop jumping off the couch, close that refrigerator door, stop doing all those wrestling moves. Dad just walk in a room and it's like, look, everybody sit down and shut up. And it's not to say that a mother's role isn't important or is not needed, because it definitely is. Again, I have a great mom. I'm sorry, but all y'all moms are number two compared to mine. She's an awesome woman, but she ain't dad. There are certain things a dad brings to his son's and or daughter's relationship that a mother just doesn't do. And those things are built through intimacy with that person. The more time you spend with that person, the more you communicate with that person, the deeper that relationship goes, the more you appreciate that person, and the more you understand the love toward you from that person. I know there were times when I was growing up where my dad would slip little nuggets of wisdom in there that being 9, 10, 11, 12 years old was annoying. I mean, one thing, I was always on my grades in school. Never had to worry about that. I won't bring it home nothing lower than a B. If y'all can hear that on the stream and notice, that was my mom saying amen. I wasn't bringing home anything under a B. My behavior outside of school was not a question. My behavior in the home was not a question. So me, being a young man, on a Saturday morning, I'm like, I ain't got nothing to do. I want to sleep in. My dad was a stickler. If you're in my house, you got to be up out of bed. The latest he would give me was 8 o'clock on a Saturday. And I'm like, I can't work because I'm too young. My grades good. My behavior good. Why you won't let me? What's the harm of me giving me 9, 10 o'clock on a Saturday? Again, at the time, extremely annoying. But as I got older, I realized he was training me because that was a time of less demand. It wasn't a time I had to be up. So it was a good time to train myself for the routine of when I get a wife and a family. Now my routine is to get up and take care of responsibilities. So it was a good method to practice before the responsibility came. So I was already in a routine of performing it versus waiting for the responsibility to get there. And then I got to shift my whole life. Small nuggets like that weren't appreciated then, I grew to understand that, okay, the love from this guy is something that I should pay attention to. And Satan, being the very clever individual that he is, does his best to manipulate the view of a father in the home. His goal is to remove dad from the home. Because if dad isn't here, how can I then approach God with the father, son, and or daughter relationship? Because I have no point of reference if dad wasn't there. Or if dad lied, well, is God going to do the same? Or if dad left before I was born, so how can I respect my relationship with God? Maybe he'll abandon me too. I know one of the things that I even dealt with growing up was my parents went through a divorce. And any child that has gone through that, I'm sure, will attest to feeling like at some point you were the cause or you played a part in the parents splitting up. Because I know I did growing up. I always looked at it as, was I being a good enough son? Could I have done anything better to make my parents not split up? That factored into my relationship with God. What if I'm trying to live my best life for him and I sin? Is the father going to abandon me now like my real dad did? Satan plays on those, just like we sow our seed into the ground and we expect a harvest. Satan plants seeds early on in our life to get our image of the father distorted and confused. We don't like him, but he's very clever in doing that. Because typically households have moms. Most households have moms. It's the father that he wants to remove. Even down to simple things. Like, I remember when me and my wife first started dating. When I pulled up to the house for the first time to meet her parents, her mom didn't greet me at the door. It was her dad. Because dad establishes, you're not about to bring that foolishness in here. Whereas if a young man takes or goes to a woman's house now, if there's no dad, typically coming from a young as, you know, the previous generation would say, a young guy that's smelling himself. You know, if I step to the door and ain't no dad there, I'm like, ain't nobody in this jank I fear. Dad sets a different boundary. When praying and in our walks with God, again, it's important to know who we're talking to and why. Because walking by faith, it sounds great. Believing God for manifestation, believing God for what's already done, it sounds great. But who's on the other end of that conversation? And that's what I want to dive into with the time that we have tonight, is who are you talking to? Point number one, we're going to dive right into it. Point number one is discernment. It's important to know who you're talking to, because when you have an understanding of who you're talking to, it brings on discernment. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear and know my voice." The more time you spend with someone, the harder it is not to know their voice. I remember a few months ago, Lady Roz, I believe it was Lady Roz in that Pastor G, but she was up here teaching, and she called my daughter up to the stage, and she had her facing the wall. And she had three different people, including my wife, call out her name. My daughter immediately said, "That's not my mommy. That's my mommy." Because of the intimate relationship that she spends with her, she knows the one who's calling her voice. I was in prayer time, and I was actually sharing this with my wife a few days ago. I was in prayer time, and Holy Spirit said to me, it's a very common, not mistake, but something that's glossed over a lot. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Eve was being, at the time, deceived by Satan in the form of a serpent. Once Adam and Eve bit the fruit, realized what they had done, and they hid themselves from God, Holy Spirit said to me, most people focus on the Adam, who told you you were naked. Holy Spirit said, but go back a little bit in that conversation. They were always naked. Why wasn't it a big deal to Satan when he was talking to Eve that she was naked? Because her and Adam being naked were never the issue. The issue or the point Holy Spirit was saying in who told you you were naked is, who said something to you other than me? Who have you been listening to that said something other than me? Because to me, we've always been intimate and close. You've always been able to discern my voice. So who said something to you to make you think you had to then hide yourself from me? Because we've always been face to face. What made you think you had to shy away from me? And of course, we thank God for Jesus. But the sad part for Adam and Eve is they never said, "Lord, I'm sorry." What would have happened if Adam would have said, "Lord, forgive me. Return me back to that intimate part with you." I decree discernment over everyone listening to the sound of my voice right now. And I thank you, Father, that they will be able to decipher the difference between your voice through people and the enemy's voice through people. I speak connections, networks, and people using their power, their influence on our behalves. And I thank you for your ears, that your people will be able to discern the difference between your voice, Father, and the voice of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Point number two, affirmation. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's handiwork, his workmanship." Bible says we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. But if I must say so, when I look in the mirror, I'm not disappointed in what God made. It's just me. I ain't saying I'm the best thing, but I know I ain't at the bottom of the barrel. And that's thanks to my Father, because a father's role is one that affirms his children. Again, I go back to my relationship with my natural parents. My mom was there. She was there to say, boy, you crazy. Boy, you look just like your daddy. I don't know where I got you from. All this other stuff. And I love that from her. But it's different when a dad walks in and he says, son, I'm proud of you. It's a different dynamic. It's something more there when a father says to his son or his daughter, I'm proud of you. I see that every day when I play around with my daughter. It was crazy because me and my wife joke about it all the time. And she says, when I'm looking at my daughter, she's like, you always said you wanted two of me. It's like, yeah, I've always wanted a little princess. So now that I have one, I thank God every day for her. And I make sure to tell her every day, Daddy loves you. You are beautiful. Daddy's proud of you. You're smart. You're talented. It's nothing you can't do. Whatever you want to be, you can do it. Don't ever let the world tell you anything different. Because Daddy is always going to be there to affirm you, just like our spiritual father. It starts with discerning his voice compared to the enemy's voice and understanding that if you told me in your word that I'm your handiwork, you made every part of me. So how can the world tell me my image that is the mirror of the word of God isn't good enough? I don't live by the world standards. Whose report do we believe? I believe what God told me. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm from a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. So I let the word affirm me and build up my character, where I don't have self-esteem issues. I just go off what God said and let him esteem me. Point number three is direction. The importance, let me back up. I affirm everyone under the sound of my voice that you are God's best and only God's best. That there is nothing you will put your hands to that will not flourish. That the next thing you set out to do is going to prosper because your Father has made you great. I thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Point number three, direction. We have to know who we're talking to because the Lord directs our path. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. With everything going on in this world, and of course, saints, we know we must pray. There are times when you have to catch yourself and say, all right, Lord, like, I know you got me. I know your angel's watching over me. I know what the word says, but, you know, got to look over my back a couple times when I'm out in public. And I was having a moment a few weeks back with the unfortunate shooting in the elementary school. Because I have a daughter that's that age, and that one kind of hit a little different, you know. And I'm sitting there when I saw the news flash about it. At first, to be honest, couldn't even read it. It's just sometimes you got to just cut the world off and say, all right, I can't allow it to go in too deep because I don't need those seeds being planted. So I stopped immediately what I was doing, and I started praying for my daughter. So, you know, Lord, just protect her, cover her, rebuke any spirits that are, you know, any plots or schemes on her. I think that her anointing and the gifts and the talents that rest upon her not only cover her, but it covers every other student and teacher, faculty member, everybody else in that school is covered because she's there. And in that moment of prayer, Holy Spirit said to me, I said to him, I said, Lord, how do I know I'm doing a good job with my daughter? Like, how do I know that? Because I want what's best for her. So help me with directing her on a path because I want what's best for her. He said, real simple. He said, you want what's best for her. I know what's best for her. We can want what's best for our kids. The word says, I know the thoughts I have for you. For me, it took me out. Because I'm like, as a parent, you know, for those who are parents, and even those who you have either a younger sibling or niece, nephew, or godchildren, excuse me. You have those moments when you see them and it's like, I want to do everything for you. I'll knock anybody's head off. Lord, give me the money so I can pay any and everything they will ever want so they don't have a need. And you exhaust mentally every avenue you can go through to make sure that that little boy or that little girl never has to worry about anything in their life. And we can still do all of that, have all of that love and compassion towards them, and we can still make a mistake. But directing them on a path towards God and aligning their lives with his will for them, they can't go wrong. Because his word says he is going to bring them to an expected end, meaning there is a destination that God has for them that is already pre-prepared. No matter how much planning I do, I can't top God's love towards my child. As much as I love her, he loves her even more. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak clear direction to your people. I thank you that you have already ordered our steps. You've already made our ways clear. And Father, I thank you that we realign our wills, our mindsets, all of our energy on a path that you've already predestined us to walk in. I thank you for clear direction on where to go, what to do, who to talk to, and when to move, when to be still and be silent. And I also thank you for the boldness that in the times we should speak up, that we are prepared because we know you live inside of us. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number four, duty. Mark 16:15 says, go throughout the world and preach the gospel. Simple task. But we have to know, again, who we're talking to know what that task is. One thing that I used to always struggle with when I was growing up is the scripture that says, let me rephrase that. I didn't struggle with the scripture. It was the understanding of it. Honor your mother and your father. Because I did honor my parents. That wasn't the point I was getting to. But it was the understanding of, okay, this thing is saying, honor my mom and my dad. It's the first commandment with promise because it prolongs your days on the world or on the earth. So I'm like, okay, as long as I listen to my parents, I live longer, according to what the word says. Now, again, going back to that whole moms bring a different dynamic than dad, I could probably count on one hand in my life, and I don't got to use all my fingers, of how many times I legit feared my mom. It's just one. I did something that I shouldn't have done and got in some trouble with some friends, and good old San, as y'all call her, y'all understand what that means, yeah. I ain't even got to go into that. But when it comes to dad, it's different. You know, dad was the chastiser. Well, PG, we'll leave it there. He's the chastiser. So when it came to obeying them, didn't take much. You know, I wasn't one of those kids that was a repeat offender. You know, if I touched the stove and it was hot, I ain't doing it again. I'm not going to put on the oven mitt to see if it feel different. Like, I'm good. So growing up, again, I'm looking at the scripture that says, honor your mother and your father. So, okay, I live longer. But then I would see kids my age dying. So I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, maybe it's if I disobey my mom one time, it cuts off a day of my life. You know, I'm trying to rationalize in my head, how's this making sense that I'm seeing kids 16, 17, 18 years old leave this world? Like, You mean tell me if the Bible says, you know, we're given 120 years, you mean tell me you did enough sinning to go from 120 years down to 18? You only been on the earth 18 years. Like, what are we doing here? Holy Spirit said to me one day, you know, just, and that's another thing too. Know who you're talking to, because if you ask Holy Spirit a question, he's going to answer it. So if you're man or woman, you know, we're not discriminating. If you're man or woman enough to ask God a question, be prepared for the answer. And I asked him, I said, okay, Lord, what's up with this scripture right here? Because I'm the same age as some people that I see leaving this world. I don't want to be in that boat. You know, what are they doing wrong? Holy Spirit said to me real simple. Just because the Bible says, you know, a man is given 120 years doesn't mean you live to see that if you remove yourself from my grace. Honoring your mother and your father keeps you protected. The second you decide to do something different, you remove yourself from that grace and protection. You're free game to the enemy. You may not make it back to that grace. My love is always there, but you exercise your will to step out of my will. And when you do that, you then take on protecting your own life. And it hit me like, okay, so my duty at this point in time is to obey that woman, that man, no matter how much I may disagree with their correction or their instruction. The Bible says, honor them. So I may not want to take out the trash at the exact moment she say take it out. Well, okay, do I risk taking the trash out and just being inconvenienced for a couple seconds? Or do I remove myself from the will of God over the trash? Come on. Or don't be out in the streets past a certain time. Am I willing to risk having fun with my friends? Or do I want to be in the house when certain things are happening? Because bullets don't know names or people or faces. So which covering do I want to be under? The Lord's or my own? And the same as it pertains to adults. The Bible again says in Mark 16, go throughout the world and preach the gospel. When we see people, whether it be family, co-workers, and we know that their relationship with God isn't where it's supposed to be, God has tasked us with the duty of saying something to them. And I used to always get caught up in that about, you know, well, Lord, I don't feel like, you know, hooping and hollering and going to a full-blown sermon with people. And, you know, I ain't built for that, especially if I'm at work. Like, I ain't got, that's an HR violation. I ain't got time to be sitting here in a break room talking to these people about Jesus. Like, ministry is your behavior. As children of God, we can't be the ones doing what the world does. Yes, we can have fun. We're no longer under the law of sin and death. So certain things, this isn't a license. This is not a license to sin. Let's make that clear. This is not a license to sin. You can do whatever you want to do, but it does affect your relationship with the Father. And I say that to say certain things as believers we can't do because it kills our witness. Because a lot of the times as believers, people won't focus on what we say. They'll focus on what we do. Even as simple as, because this is one thing that I had to work on myself as a personal testimony, timeliness. Can't be late for work all the time because it's a bad representation of who I serve. You know, if he's a on-time God, we got to be on time for work. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a renewed sense of our duty that you've charged us with. I thank you that we will have the boldness to stand, to do what you've called us to do. We will not be afraid of people, of their views or opinions on us, but we will be rested and secure in your word, your anointing, and what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number five and my last point, yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says his promises are yes and amen. It's important to know who you're talking to when you're praying and you're believing, because the one you're talking to always says yes. If we wanted something, if my daughter came to me and she asked me for something, she can get anything she wants from me. She knows that. Thankfully, she does not abuse that. But she can get anything she wants from me. I know she can hear me. And so I tried this same dynamic with the Lord. I'm like, all right, God, I know you love me, and I want something from you. It was years ago when I was first learning how to drive. And the cost for the class was $200. It's like, all right, Lord, I want somebody to come give me the money so I could take this class. Now, at the time, I was working, so I had the $200 myself. I just didn't want to spend mine. So I'm like, all right, Lord, I need somebody to come give me $200 for this class. So at the time of, you know, a little bit of Christian immaturity, it's one of those times where I only prayed when I wanted something, I will admit. And again, got to know who you're talking to, because when you ask God for certain stuff, he will answer you. A family friend comes over to the house. He was actually the brother of my godmom. He comes over to the house, hadn't seen him in a couple months. And he comes in the room where I'm in. He's like, hey, Mike, what's going on? What you got going on in life? Small talk. I'm just sitting there like, yeah, I'm about to take this driving class. You know, I'm trying to get my L's. I already got a car. You know, want to impress my friends and be able to go pick up my girlfriend without my mom having to drop us off. Like, you know, that whole getting picked up, taken to the movies. Then when the movie is over, I got to call her an hour before the movie is over so I ain't the only kid, you know, sitting in there waiting for their ride to get there. I want for that. I want built for that type of life. So I'm like, yo, I need $200 for this driving class. He was like, okay, and just walked out the room. So I'm like, did you not hear what I just said? Like, I need. So he leaves. I'm like, that prayer won't even answer. Like, all right, Lord, what are we doing? So the Lord says to me, simple. He says, which one you think was harder for me to do? Give you $200 or send my son to die? Thinking about it now, if somebody was to ask me, Mike, give me $200 or give me Carrington, are you getting $200 because you ain't getting my child? None of y'all getting that. But God gave us Jesus, offered him up freely. If he's willing to do that, what's $200? 10 minutes later, the guy comes back, walks right in my room, gives me $200 bills, two $100 bills, and say, go take your class. His promises are yes and amen. If he gave us Jesus, he can't tell us no to anything else, because he's already given us the harder of the two. The 5 points I've given tonight, if you look at the first letter of each word, what does it say? Daddy. Because that's who you're talking to on the other end of these conversations. We're not only talking to God. We're not only talking to Jesus. We're talking to Daddy. There's something about being able to run in a room and sit on your dad's lap and place your head on his chest and just sit there. And we can do that every time we open up our mouths to pray. We go behind the velvet rope, as they may say. We can walk past the crowd, past all the entourage that's trying to get to Jesus. We can walk right into the room where he is, run up to him like it's the first day of school and we just got out and we've been missing him all day. And we can jump right in his arms and just say, Daddy. That's who we're talking to, someone who wants an intimate and personal relationship with us. Galatians 5, 6, and I'm wrapping up here. This is the last scripture. Pastor J has been teaching us from a standpoint of faith laws. Galatians 5, 6 tells us in the latter part of that verse, faith works by love. Not my love towards the Father, but his toward us. When we believe, when we pray, when we stretch our faith out to believe God for anything, one, his word tells us it's already done. He keeps it ready for us to reach out and believe him for it. But the part about that I love is it's his love towards me that causes faith to work, not mine towards him. Because if that was the case, none of us would even be here. Because when we were sinners, we all had to either say it in our seat or make the walk down an aisle and come down to the altar to say, Father, come into my heart. We had to use faith for that, to believe for somebody we don't even see. But his love towards us had already been extended. So when we said that prayer, believing, it was done. It's no different than a house, a job, a spouse, a vehicle, peace, healing. It's the same thing. It works by love. Father, I thank you that every prayer that we've been decreeing, every prayer that we've had our faith set out to you, we thank you that the yes is already ours. And we thank you for the revelation that it's already ours. We thank you for a deeper revelation and understanding of your love towards us that causes the manifestation of our faith. We thank you for a deeper revelation of faith works by love. Your love towards us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Briefly, just want to touch on and say, again, the enemy is extremely clever and cunning. He tried to do an awesome job in creating daddy issues in people. So that way, when we go to God, there's no point of reference. I come against every attack of the enemy on your lives right now. And I decree that any scars, any baggage that is there because of dad leaving, not being present, never being there, absentee father, whatever the case may be, any image that you have negatively of a dad and of a father, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing to your heart, that Holy Spirit will begin to massage those sore and tender spots of your heart. And that this is for somebody out there. And that you will stop seeking vices to fill the hole that only God can fill. You don't have to chase after men. Allow Holy Spirit to fill that void that you have in your heart, because he's reaching out to you with his love. He just wants you to answer the call, because discernment, affirmation, direction, duty, and yes is what's waiting for you, because your daddy is calling you. I thank you right now, Father, if you're watching and you don't know Jesus as daddy, if you don't know God as daddy, this is an invitation to come join our family. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I just ask right now that you repeat these words after me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I need you in my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you came, that you died, and that you rose again for me. And I thank you, and I will allow you to come into my heart and to live your life in me and through me. If you said those words, he's your daddy. He's not just God. He's not just your savior. But he's someone who wants an extremely intimate and personal relationship with you. He wants to talk to you every day. Every day. There's not one phone call that he will reject. Join us every Sunday here at 11645 Mayflower Road in Norfolk, Virginia. Tuesdays at 7. And of course, Friday night prayer starting at 6:30. We look forward to seeing you and coming to join the family of salvation. Until next time, continue to love God, love people. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. I call you blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you come, blessed when you go. Expect God's supernatural favor to surround you like a shield, and expect only God's goodness and God's best for your life. Continue to love God, love people, and live out purpose. We look forward to seeing you very soon.